You're listening to a podcast from 702.
Thank you for staying with us. This is the second hour of the Eusebius McKaiser Show on this Friday, the 27th of March 2020, and the country is under national lockdown. These are necessary regulations that have been enacted by our state to try and contain the spread of COVID-19. And as I started my broadcast this morning, we had, of course, and this is also our lead story in EWN, news from the Minister of Health that we are waking up as South Africans, sadly, to the knowledge now that we have our first deaths resulting from COVID-19. And these are two deaths that occurred in the Western Cape, one at a private hospital and the other at a public hospital. So it's critically important that you see the next 20-21 days as a time for us to do what we need to do to flatten the curve. And hard realities must be internalized immediately. After 21 days, there will still be a challenge. This is just to buy us time. It's not like 21 days and all will be fine. You've got to internalize that. Secondly, it's not 21 days of holiday. Your children must not go on play dates. Don't deliberately try and flout the rules. If you hear from a neighbor that no cops are in sight in your area, don't think that's your chance to go jogging, take your dog for a walk. Comply. Do the right thing, even if you have an opportunity to do the wrong thing without consequence. You have a citizenship duty to do the right thing right now. It's in your own personal interest and in our collective interest. Joining me to catch up on aspects of the operational side of things from a public health point of view is Dr. Bandile Masuku, who, of course, is our very hardworking MEC of Health here in Gauteng at this time. Dr. Masuku, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you. Good morning, and thanks for having us on your show.
Got one or two particular questions, but maybe a higher level one to start with. There are many war rooms set up nationally at city level, at provincial level, institutions like the NICD working with the state, etc., etc. How are things going in terms of levels of cooperation between the various structures that you are within and across?
Yeah, I think we've been improving over a period of time. I think we are much better from when we started last week, after the first pronouncement by the president. And I think even in terms of reporting, there are things that we are now including in our reporting that we are tracing. So I think the cooperation is becoming much better, and we are almost now in a state where we can be able to say we are confident that our planning and our strategies will continuously evolve over a period of time and make the containment period and phase easier.
I want to understand the situation in Gauteng with as much specificity as you have available for me. Gauteng is a big province. Johannesburg is a massive city. We carry, as a province, around 42% of the COVID cases in South Africa. That number is obviously changing, but that's a massive share of it. Which parts of the province and which part of our city in particular are in the eye of this biological storm? How much have you been able to analyze this suburb by suburb, street by street? What level of data analysis is at your fingertips?
Yes, I think what we are looking at, it's just a lot of imported infections. But there is a greater triangle that we are almost focusing on where these numbers are actually coming up sharply. You know, airports, O.R. Tambo being our main anchor of the triangle, mm-hmm, up to the point of midstream and coming back to Sandton. So this is a triangle that we are looking at. And if you look at it in between, we have Alexander, we've got Deep Slot, we've got Ebony Park and Ivory Park, and we've got a bit of Vosloorus Township, Thokoza and Katlehong. Why I'm mentioning this, these are areas of high density, and this is where the most vulnerable would be. But one thing that is important is that the people who are infected or the contacts, the cases, are all at the apex of the triangle. They are not within the triangle.
What does that mean geographically, doctor?
Geographically, we are speaking to the area along R24 from the airport up to midstream, which is just at the base of Centurion and Kennington Park.
Okay.
And then coming back to Ditchlood and Sandton.
Mm.
And then OR Tambo. So that's the area that we are focusing on. And that's where we are put a lot of tracers in that space.
Okay.
to contact those who have been exposed to the individuals who are cases.
So some of those geographies are big because Johannesburg is a metropolis. And one thing that has confused me is, even though I've seen from the city dividing Joburg into regions, those regions are massive chunks. Alex itself is huge. When we talk Sandton, we could be talking anything from Ethel to Sandown to Strathaven to Morningside, etc. Do we have any smaller units in terms of understanding where the higher concentrations are? So, for example, Alex is lumped in some of the graphs that I've seen with Sandton. And in my mind, I think to myself, I would love to see a more specific split that would be useful, first and foremost for you, from a governance point of view and a management point of view, and then from the point of view of informing citizens and keeping tabs on the virus. When we lump Sandton and Alex together, it doesn't go very far as a data point.
Yeah, at the data point, it's not really much of a difference. But what the area that we're looking at is the CBD of Sandton, which is the one that has got a lot of tourists who are around there. So we are looking at that space, and we are looking at the contacts of those individuals. And at the moment, we are almost at 70% of all tracing of all the contacts, and it's something that we are working on increasing. I'm certain you heard yesterday one of the things that we're talking about on the media was how incomplete the forms were and the data that we received. And you will also see when the minister announces the results, there's a bigger chunk of people that are written unallocated because of the information that is missing on the forms. And this is by and large from our private laboratories and private GPs.
I heard that conversation with my colleague on the Midday Report with Clement Magnatella, and that disturbed me immediately because, firstly, from a civic duty point of view, if someone has tested, they really should go and get their results, even if it's frustrating to wait a week or 9 days. But I wonder to myself, how does that happen? Do the labs not capture the right data?
Yeah, that's the thing that has been there in our system. You know, like even when I was working as a practitioner, you'll find forms being incompletely filled in terms of details. We didn't know where the patient, which ward are they, which bed are they, which is the doctor who took the specimen. So it's something that it's been there. It's a chronic problem that we need to sort out, and now it is exposing us when we're dealing with a pandemic, that those habits were quite bad for many people.
The category of confirmed positive cases that have not yet been found that you discussed with Clement Magnatella, how many such persons are there?
No, the number when we spoke yesterday was 110, and I think now we're down to under 50.
Okay.
And when we wait for the report in the midday, we'll maybe get to a point where all of them would have been allocated. And then the numbers and the figures in the minister will indicate when he announces the infections.
You and I spoke last week about resources. I wanted to catch up on that. When we had that conversation, you spoke frankly with residents of Gauteng that even at the level of auditing, understanding what we need in terms of everything from personal protective equipment for medical personnel, masks and the like and other things, to testing kits, ICU beds that may have to be available. All of those kinds of things need to be audited. And we do not even know what the exact demand in the end will be, depending on where this virus heads in the population. Where are we at in terms of your understanding of what you have as a provincial government and where the gaps are and how you're procuring for what you are missing?
Yes, we have to say upfront that most of the suppliers are struggling with stock. And you'd realize that it's almost an international actual phenomenon. Hello?
I'm listening to you, Doctor.
Yes, no, I missed you there.
I heard you saying that many of your suppliers do not have the required levels of stock that you need.
Yeah, so we have crunched a bit of the numbers here, working on the general trend of the disease of the 80% of the population, 60% of the population will be infected. 60%. That's the assumptions that we are actually making when we make the determination.
Yes,
that 60% of the population will be infected, which gives us a figure of almost 9 million people in Gauteng. And then those who are infected, 80% of them will have mild cases, which might not even require them to come to a facility, which gives us a figure of around 7.2 million.
Yeah, which and saves you with 1.8 million.
Yeah, then when we cascade it down, that when we, for people who are going to have severe disease pattern, we're looking at around 20%. That's 1.8 million people.
That's right.
In Gauteng. So we are working out everything within those actual figures, which will then make sense. But like I said last week to you, that when you look at them, we are still far from actually getting to the to that point. We have been receiving stock every day, over 10,000 masks, gloves, every day in the last week. We are going to continue to do the same next week so that we're able. The aim is to get to a point where we are a week ahead of all the things, and we have to increase this PPE. I struggle with this word, PPE, protective...
Personal protective equipment. Yeah.
So that's what we're looking at. And at the moment, we are still very far from getting to, I think, around 20% to 25% of everything required.
One of the lessons we've learned from countries that are further ahead and who have gifted us time to learn from them as case studies are quite scary but interesting at the same time from a planning point of view, that even a 24-hour period can make a massive difference to the slope of the curve in terms of transmission, as well as the odds of a hospitalization case not resulting in a fatality. And in that regard, when there is a shortfall in resources, equipment that is needed, treatment, whatever you need in the hospital for care and treatment to take place as effectively as possible, it's going to be really difficult to import stuff because everyone will be American first, Italy first, etc., because every country has got a crisis and a shortage. And that requires us to do, which is why Minister Patel's promulgations were so important, making sure that our South African companies are repurposing themselves to produce literally what it is that is required by what you required in the Department of Health. In that regard, Dr. Masuku, as we speak, is that kind of thing happening?
Yeah, you know, the sad reality is that most of the companies which are local suppliers, they rely on exports. Yeah, they rely on exports, and now because with the lockdown and everything, they don't have. But it's something that we've been looking at in terms of empowering township businesses, but they are almost on the small scale. And at this rate, we are requiring more amounts and more stock. But it's something that we should look at in the future in terms of how the state can be able to produce this on their own, and all, so that we don't rely on anybody else and outside companies or external stakeholder to be able to supply. but it's something that we have to look at. But it's a big problem.
Yes.
But what we are doing now is that everyone is just bringing in everything that they have, which is quality. Because also we have to do a bit of quality assurance. And we have made sure that every day, daily, all our facilities do have required equipment. And we have started a hotline so that we also in real time be able to respond to any shortage in any of the facility across the province. So we're just putting up ways and means to mitigate how we can make sure that people don't run out of PPE.
I'm just going to engage you for two more minutes. I understand what you're saying. At a strategic level, I get that the state needs to become as unreliant as possible. But in this moment, the horrible thing about this virus is that it's not going to give you time to create state capacity. And therefore, the public-private partnerships are going to be absolutely essential. And in that regard, let's keep it now practical. Let's say, for example, ICU beds. How many beds for Gauteng would you ideally like to know is available as the death tally increase and hospitalization crisis increase? As you and I speak right now, Dr. Masuku, what is the ICU bed capacity in Gauteng, for example?
The bed capacity we have now is 286. That is across all our facilities. With us having scaled down any elective surgery, it has opened up a whole number of them across the province. And we had a discussion with private sector on Monday, and they've availed 300 at the moment.
In addition to the 286?
In addition to the 286.
So that takes us to 586, right? And what is what should that number be when you speak to the number crunchers that do modeling?
Yeah, you know what we are modeling. Remember, we said that in the 1.8 people that might require hospitalization and high care in ICU, it makes us want to have an area where we can have at least a 5,000 bedded type of ICU hospital situation, which we, with the negotiations we're doing with private sector, we might get to 3,000 at the moment.
But as we speak, that leaves you short by 4,414, if my math is quick.
Yeah. Hey, yeah, that's roughly the figure.
Yeah.
You know,
that is quite scary.
So what we're doing, which is important, was remember, we must combine all the efforts and strategies. So whilst we lower the curve, it also helps us not to have more severe cases. So we also have to deal with the most vulnerable groups in our population, particularly the elderly. And part of it is just to isolate them completely from in our old age homes, particularly those who are in our facilities, but also encourage the public to protect them. And also to get them vaccines so that they can actually be vaccinated and be able to take care of them. So if we lower the curve and lower everything, it also helps us not to have most of the severe cases. And in Gauteng, we had only had 6 patients that have been admitted, 2 who were in ICU, and 2 of them are out of ICU, they are recovering. So we are happy about it. So far, there is some element of luck which we can't rely on.
Mm-hmm.
We just need to continue to build our capacity.
Yes.
And I think, like I said last week, I commit that next week when I come on your show, which I think we need to do, is just to give you a better picture of the supplies that they were promised to actually get in terms of PPE and in terms of the bed. And we are thinking also of putting up a bigger facility around Soweto where we can be able to have at least almost beds for quarantining, isolation, and also for hospitalization.
Lastly, Dr. Masuku, what is your message to 2 groups in particular? We've had so many calls in the first hour of my radio program this morning of people who say, in my community, it's business as usual. People are doing what they want. They're not, by their sticking to the regulations. The police can't be everywhere. The soldiers can't be everywhere. Pick and pay is full of people. If citizens are listening, and residents of Gauteng who are listening to you right now, I want you to give a message firstly to them, and then secondly, given the state's, for better or worse, capacity problems, also speak directly to corporates who at the moment are not doing usual business because of the restrictions, but could be able to repurpose and help you where you need. So firstly, to the residents of Gauteng, and then to corporates, what do you want to say to each of those two groups?
Yeah, I think let's start with the corporates, which is a bigger group that we actually require their help, and they need to be patriotic to offer us in a reasonable cost range and make sure that they contribute to all the other things, particularly to the vulnerable, the homeless, and those who are destitute. But we are all open for any assistance from their side, because this fight is not the fight of only government, but it's for all of us and the survival of the nation.
Mm.
And to the citizens, it's a message that we need to carry through even post the pandemic. That, you know, people must take responsibility of their health. They can't defer the responsibility to government or to anybody else. So basic things is just to be responsible and be able to, with the lockdown, means that we must limit movements, we must stay home and be able to keep ourselves safe first, and then the next person safe. You know, because the resources in the country are so much, you know, and that they're not infinite, and we need to be able to get their cooperation.
Absolutely.
To help us to slow down the rate of transmission. This is what is so important about lowering the curve. It's just to slow down the transmission, and the testing stations will still be at the hotspots, as I've spoken to you. We just need everybody to mop up and we to be safe and stay away from the streets.
Thank you. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
That's Dr. Bandile Masuku, MEC of Health here in Gauteng.